newspaper because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
It is October 10th, a Thursday, week 7 of college football, and we are excited to get, we mentioned it earlier in the week, fired up to get into this week because there are some big time matchups, a couple that we're going to go through. Obviously LSU Florida, huge matchup in Baton Rouge, and then the Red River Showdown, Texas Oklahoma. We'll get to find out who's real in that matchup, the battle of offenses, that's for sure. But thank you for joining us on Menace to Society, college football national show, giving you an under the hood and inside access into college football, where we don't have bias, we don't care about ESPN rankings, and we're just here to give you real analysis. And I wanted to start off with one thing, because I think I've complained about it on every show thus far, and I will continue to. And here's why. It's the whole, but they haven't played anyone argument. And fortunately, Sagarin came out with their schedule rankings thus far this year for undefeated schools. And I don't know if anyone saw it. I know, of course, Ohio State's promoting it because of what it is. And again, it's all predicated on God knows what, preseason rankings, post, you know, there's analytics. And so you don't know what it's based on. But it's what you got to work with at this point. And now we're almost halfway through the season, a week or two away from halfway point. And here is the strength of schedule for undefeated teams. Ohio State, the 19th hardest schedule in the country. Clemson, the 35th hardest schedule in the country, which will dramatically go down the next half of the season. Alabama, 49th, surprisingly. Oklahoma, 61st hardest schedule in the country. Florida, 66th. Hardest. Wisconsin, 72nd. LSU, 81st. Penn State, 86th. How about this one? Georgia, the 87th hardest schedule. Because outside of Notre Dame, that's real.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is you look at Georgia and LSU, man, if they didn't play Notre Dame and Texas, how bad would their schedule be?
I mean, it'd be down there with Appalachian State at 143. Yeah. But it's just funny to see that because who they haven't played anyone. And of course, being a former Ohio State coach and having a show also centered around the Midwest football, that's the number one thing about Ohio State. They haven't played anyone. Well, I don't know. By these analytics, they've played a tougher schedule than anyone else. Now, they haven't had that big-time opponent. I get it. You could say Michigan State was the closest thing to it, which I would equate to a better Texas A&M. So, yeah. Clemson, you're out on that one. But, I mean, Cincinnati, what they did with UCF, I mean, you go on and on and on. But anyways, that is where the rankings are. But here's what I do want to do. I want to do a segment about the national contenders at this point. And I want to really analyze each team and talk about what I'm calling the flaws in the flawless. The undefeated teams, and what are their flaws? What are their red marks on their final paper? What are these teams lacking right now that we need to find out about? And I detailed it a little bit about Ohio State in the other show and earlier in the week on the other show, A Menace to the Midwest. But I want to go through each team, and I want to start with Alabama. Alabama is the least talked about undefeated team in the country.
For sure.
And I think it's because no one's really watched them.
Well, you don't watch it. They don't play anyone. They haven't played anyone, so no one's paying attention to them. They're just like, they're going to Alabama it out for these five games, and then we'll pick up when they play Texas A&M.
So I made a point yesterday to watch two Alabama games, and just a quick eval, because obviously time will tell. And here's the one thing that I think people are just counting on. They're like, oh, this is the Alabama defense. This is Nick Saban's defense. So, I mean, it is what it is. They will be really good. Here's what people aren't realizing. They lost a big-time linebacker in Joshua McMillan before the season. Then the last year's Butkus Award finalist, Dylan Moses, was lost for the season. Then they lost a defensive lineman in LeBrian Ray. And now they have, I want to say, four true freshmen starting on defense.
Yikes.
So this is not just your typical Alabama. For instance, looking at their defense, I mean, they are outside of the top 20 in almost every statistical category. The alarming ones are they're the 44th best defense in the country stopping the run. again, haven't played anyone. They're the fourth. So what happens when they play LSU? Now, LSU doesn't run the ball well, but what happens when they play a team that does? What, you know, that's what we're talking about is this is a team that we just assume is going to be a great run-stopping defense, and that's very concerning. They're also the 36th best third down defense in the country, which is alarming. They're the 80th defense at getting pressure on the quarterback in the country. They are not the Alabama defense that you are used to.
Well, also looking at their schedule, it doesn't look like they're going to face any good, really great rushing team. Like, I don't know who would it be. A&M, LSU, Auburn. That's about all they have left.
Auburn.
That's it. But other than that,
I mean,
no.
We're talking about a national landscape here. I'm talking about in the big picture. Who's going to win the title? I saw Urban Meyer picked Alabama.
Yeah.
I could not disagree more. I think this Alabama is less poised to win it all than last year's, which didn't.
Exactly.
Now, what they do have is the second best pass efficiency offense in the country. Tua is lighting them up.
He is lighting them up.
You talk about Jalen Waddle. You talk about Jerry Jeudy. I mean, they can throw the ball, and they're protecting the quarterback decent. I mean, 15th in the country in sacks. So their throwing offense is as elite as anyone in the country. What they're not doing, and this is another anti-Alabama.
Not like them, yeah.
They're not running. They're not running the ball
no.
like Alabama usually does. 23rd in rushing average. So I just want to explain something, how I evaluate teams. And I've said it all along. I don't care who the number one passing offense is in the country. That's yards. It's probably Mike Leach. Yeah, I don't care who the number one rushing offense is in the country. It's probably Navy.
Wisconsin.
it doesn't matter. What I look at is rushing average and pass efficiency. Mm-hmm. Because let's say the best team in the country should be around 50-50 rushing and passing.
Yeah.
So if you only run the ball half as many times as these other teams, I want to know how many yards per carry do you get? What is your efficiency when you run it? And then when you throw it, not just do you throw for a million yards and then you throw for 40 picks. And, you know, I want to know who's the most efficient passing team in the country. And I want to know your third down stats. Because if you can throw the ball efficiently overall and rank high in that, and you can be really, really good on third down, and you can run the ball as on an average with the best of them, your offense is cooking. So that's what I look at, and that's where Alabama's. They're averaging 5 yards a carry, a little over, for 23rd in the country. And with the competition they've played, it should be much higher. With an Alabama, with the front they have, that offensive line and the skill in the backfield, it should be higher. So they're not running the ball well enough, in my opinion. And people have said it for 100 years. How do you win it all? You run the ball, you play great defense, and you win a national championship. They're not doing either of those two. They're lighting people up, throwing the ball, and their defense is lackluster at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready to crown Alabama anything. Yeah. I'm not ready to say they're going to beat LSU or Georgia, for that matter. This is not, don't just give them the Alabama pass.
Yeah, their rushing offense is currently grading on Pro Football Focus at number 13. So they're up there, but they're not where Alabama should be based on the opponents they've played. And, I mean, they're great on defense is fine. They're third in the country overall grade on defense, but that's, you know, they have a lot better teams coming down the road.
Right. And so I just want to see the flaws and the flawless. That's the whole point of this. So the next team is Clemson, right? Clemson. And obviously that North Carolina game exposed some things that they might have going on. Now, the one thing I want to put out there, because I saw a number of predictions and people are talking about if there's 5 undefeated teams, Clemson's the team out. Let's make sure one thing's clear. If the defending national champions win every game they play, they're going to the playoff. Enough. Stop it. The one thing that is going on right now is they've done a great job and their defense is playing really well. I mean, they're 7th against pass efficiency. They are the 9th scoring defense in the country, 13th against rushing average. The only thing you would say is they're not getting a lot of turnovers. They're not creating a lot of turnovers. They've created, I think, 9 turnovers on the year, which is not exceptional, 54th in the country. But their defense and Brent Venables are playing kind of Clemson-ish, right? They're playing well enough, certainly, to get through this schedule. The real issue here is this vaunted offense is not performing. Trevor Lawrence is not performing where they should be performing. I mean, you look at every analytic. You look at Pro Football Focus. You look at grades. You watch the film. You look at national statistics. This offense is not playing like a high-powered national platform offense. I mean, 54th in the country in pass efficiency. Trevor Lawrence, this is supposed to be the number one quarterback in America. Now, the one guy they have is Travis Etienne. He is a great player. And because of that, they're 6th in the country in rushing average. But the rest of the offense, I mean, you're talking about 67th. They have two of the best, two of the top five receivers in college football, and they are 67th in the country at creating explosive pass plays with Trevor Lawrence and those two receivers.
Well, I think you saw it last week. They were the offense was exposed by North Carolina. I mean, Trevor Lawrence had, what, 206 yards, and Etienne, he got 67 yards. They didn't look very good at all.
I'll tell you this, they're poised to get upset is all I will say. I don't know if they will. They don't have the schedule to do it, but they could Clemson. As people used to say all the time, they Clemsoned. They might Clemson
they
this
used
year.
To yeah. They did that all the time.
And it's amazing when you look at Trevor Lawrence, they're currently ranked 40th in passing grade in the nation, behind teams like Appalachian State, Arkansas State, SMU. I mean, teams that Trevor Lawrence should not be behind in any metric.
No, and because of what? They played Texas A&M? Come on. Enough of that. But I think those are two teams that are not – I mean, those are the – I wanted to start with those two because those are the two that matched up last year. And I, when I watch the film, when I look at the analytics, the stats, I don't see the same two teams.
Well, those are the two that everybody in the country will say – those are the cream of the crop, right? Nobody is on Clemson and Alabama's level, according to every pundit in America coming into this year. You know,
it's
Alabama, sure. Clemson, maybe Georgia, and everybody else.
Absolutely.
And that's coming what everybody said.
Coming into the year for sure, but I think as the season's gone so far, they're coming back down to earth on that a little bit.
You see the performance, you kind of have to,
right?
The good thing is at least Alabama plays a couple teams coming up that we're going to find out, but I would not be surprised if either of those team loses a game. I would not be surprised. Now the next team that I want to bring up, I think is the best team in the country. And now the problem that I have and why I would be nervous about anointing them that is everyone else thinks that.
Yeah, right.
Is Ohio State. Ohio State is playing like
when you hear Mark May say it, then something's up.
Mark May and Paul Feinbaum say it.
And Feinbaum says like it too.
When I heard Feinbaum say it, I picked my feet up off the ground. I was like, holy shit, hell froze over. My feet are gonna freeze to the ground.
Right.
This is insane. But I mean Ohio State is playing they're operating on at a high, high level right now. The only there's two things that I see that they need that they aren't their offensive line is one of the best run games in the country. I mean, fifth in the country rushing average, second in the country rushing yards. They are run blocking at a high grade on Pro Football Focus. When I watch the film, they're coming off the ball. They're moving people. They're doing a great job. But what I don't see them doing well is pass proing. And this goes all the way from J.K. Dobbins to the front five. They are not pass proing well. So that could provide a major problem when they go play Wisconsin and Penn State, who rank in the top 10 in pass rush. That could be an issue for Justin Fields in that offense. Now, and the defense is, you can't even say it's the same defense. I mean, they are playing lights out right now, and they haven't, I will say that. The one thing they haven't done is they haven't played a great offense yet. Michigan State's defense was respected enough and I think good enough to challenge Ohio State offensively, but the offense, they have not faced a challenge yet. I mean, but they're first in the country in sacks. Third in the country scoring defense. I could go through the list. Everything's top 10.
Yeah.
Almost everything's top 10.
I can give you some quick grades on them here. Overall defense in Pro Football Focus, number one. Run defense, number one. Tackling defense, number one. Covered defense, number two.
So not bad. Right. Yeah. So not bad at all.
That's the best team in the country if you asked me. And I think their weakness right now is pass pro. I think it's not the throw game. I think they have skill in the perimeter. The quarterback, Justin Fields, is playing phenomenal. I think it's pass pro. And so they're going to have some real tests coming up, but ultimately not tests like they're going to face against some of these more athletic fronts, front fours, front sevens that they might face in the playoff. And so the next team is Georgia. And Georgia, we just said it. I think Georgia was the lowest
schedule.
Schedule
ranking.
In the country at 87 of these teams.
Yeah.
87th so far. So that they played Notre Dame. That is it, basically.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I think they're playing really well. I do. I mean, I think their defense is playing exceptionally well. I mean, they're stopping the run, fifth in the country. They're doing decent against the pass, 20th in the country. I think the biggest, and it's crazy, these are the question marks we're talking about. We're talking about Trevor Lawrence. And now we're talking about Jake Fromm. They are throwing the ball just okay. And I think it's mainly skill on the perimeter. And here's why I say that. When you're throwing the ball in the top 10 efficiently, but you're 50th in passing offense, that means you're not getting those downfield throws. You're not getting open. You're not creating those big plays to put up the yardage. Now, they're running the ball really well, and they have DeAndre Swift. Why would they not?
Yeah.
He's one of the best backs in the country, if not the best back in the country. But that's concerning to me. Is just the skill on the perimeter.
You've been saying it all year. Georgia and those wideouts.
I'll keep saying it. They went against an above average secondary against Notre Dame,
yep.
And didn't light them up. Lawrence Cager, I loved his performance. Now I want to see consistency out of him. But that's where I'm concerned about Georgia. The next team that I think everyone needs to talk about, it has in my opinion, is the mid-season Heisman Trophy winner in Joe Burrow. You could make an argument to me that Justin Fields is in that category, but I don't think anyone else is performing. Tua is too.
Tua's lighting it up.
He right now is putting up numbers that are mid-season best in the history of the game type of getting numbers.
Jose Barroso is just lighting it up, though.
It's unbelievable.
Almost 400 yards a game.
He's leading the top scoring offense in the country, the top third down offense in the country, the number three pass efficiency, number two in total offense, number two in pass offense. I mean, you can go down the list. He is playing better than anyone else at the position right now. Mm-hmm. So that is what's going well. Now, this is not about what's going well. This is about the flaws of the flawless. The flaw in LSU, which has never been LSU's flaw one time in the history of LSU, is they cannot run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just rushing yards. They are the 76th best team in the country at gaining yards on one run play. So even if Joe Burrow's lighting it up all over the field, if they hand it off once a game, they average 4 yards a carry, 76th in the country. They are 104th in the country in explosive runs. They've only had 19 explosive runs on the season. That is a recipe for disaster. When they face a real secondary, which they have not faced yet, do not call Texas a real secondary.
Wait, DBU doesn't have a real secondary?
No, not DB. It's
they got the T-shirt. So.
DBJC. It's DB JUCO, not DB University. I think that's concerning. The other thing that's concerning that Texas kind of exposed is that LSU's pass defense. I mean, their pass defense, they let up a ton of plays, a ton of yards against Texas. And so, you know, we'll find out what that means. Texas is either really explosive in the throw game or LSU's just kind of average in the pass game, defense at least.
Yeah, their defense also is struggling with tackling. They're currently ranked 64th in the nation in tackling. So
That's never good. And I've said it on every show, I think, every time.
Yep.
Single-digit missed tackles. That's the key. Single-digit missed tackles. So I like LSU's pass offense. I'm worried about their rush offense. I'm worried about their pass defense. I don't see a dominant, like a team that's just unbeatable in Baton Rouge right now. The other team that really hasn't played anyone either on paper is Oklahoma. Oklahoma and it's a, I don't want to say a similar storyline. It's not as near as, it's actually more dramatic than LSU, but Jalen Hurts is the other quarterback that is putting on a Heisman candidacy type of performance. Yeah. I mean, they are number one in pass efficiency. They are number one in rushing average. So that their offense is, and you would expect nothing less from Lincoln Riley. Yeah. He's the best offensive mind in college football. Their offense is, I mean, number one total offense, number one pass efficiency, number one rush average, most explosive plays, 120 explosive plays this season. That's outrageous. An explosive play is over 10 yards. That means 120 times they've either handed it off or threw it. It went for more than 10 yards.
That's only in five games, too.
That's absurd. So, we can already see the clear chink in the armor in Norman, Oklahoma, is the defense.
Though
I think they're playing better under Alex Grinch, they have a little bit more swagger, they're still not performing well. 73rd against in pass efficiency defense, 83rd in rushing average. This defense is not stopping anyone. And that's why this matchup this week against Texas is going to expose one way or the other. It's going to say, all right, can Texas' defense do anything again to slow down this offense? And can this defense stop anyone? That's the question. So as we go through this so far, I'm putting Ohio State as the best team in the country. I don't see how they're not. And I wish I had a reason, because I'm going to be called a homer for saying that.
It sounds like it's mostly defense, because a lot of these teams, it doesn't sound like have a lot of defense.
Well, especially Oklahoma and LSU's not playing well on defense, and then and really, I think every team has their issue as we're going through. But it's, I'm trying to find a team with the least amount of weaknesses, and right now it's Ohio State. Now the next two that are relevant, I think, are unfortunately for them, they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt, because they are up in the Midwest, and that means you are behind the eight ball before you get started. But the first one is the best statistical and graded and best defense in college football to this point, which is Wisconsin. You look at every statistical category, first, second, or third in the country. I mean, they have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight categories. Statistically, they are number one in the country. Let me rattle them off real quick. Total offense or total defense, passing defense, pass efficiency defense, scoring defense, explosive play stopping defense. I could go on. First down defense, third down defense, you name it. They are the best defense in college football right now. So that they check that box. They also have one of the best backs in college football, one of the top five backs. They're running the ball really well. They're creating explosive plays in the run game. They just don't have a throw game to save their life.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to struggle. So is that enough to beat Ohio State? Probably not. Is that enough to, if they were to beat Ohio State, to go beat one of the best teams in the country in a playoff scenario? Probably not. But make no mistake about it, you're going to watch Ohio State's offense against Wisconsin's defense in, what, two weeks from tomorrow or 2 weeks from Saturday, and you're going to say, all right, here's the best defense in the country. Let's see how you do. Because that is going to be a matchup of all matchups. I mean, they're getting after the quarterback. You name it, they're doing it on defense.
Yeah, they've played five games and have three shutouts. And they have a couple of matchups here coming up the next 2 weeks, Michigan State and Illinois. They could have five shutouts in the first seven games. Right.
They probably could. Will, honestly.
They definitely could. And so their counterpart in the kind of behind the eight ball world is Penn State in the Big Ten East, and Penn State is quietly putting together a run here. And obviously, all these teams, all the road goes through Columbus right now in the Big Ten, as it has pretty much every year the past 7 years. Mm-hmm. But Penn State is really running the ball well, first in the country, actually. Or I'm sorry, they're stopping the run well, first in the country at rush defense, rushing average defense, right? Mm-hmm. So Penn State's defense is playing really well. They look better, probably with their best defense under James Franklin. And surprisingly, on offense, they haven't really missed a step losing Trace McSorley and company. They're running the ball decent. They're throwing the ball decent. Less explosive plays than normal. They're not as explosive as when they had Saquon Barkley and some of these Trace McSorley and some of these bigger names. But they're doing things efficiently. So they're not a force to be taken lightly.
No, they have the second best defense in the country according to Pro Football Focus. Their offense leaves a little bit to be desired in the throw game, but they have a very efficient run game. So I think that defense. You're talking about the two best defenses in the country right there, Wisconsin and Penn State.
Yeah, absolutely. Statistically, they are, at least in on film. So we'll see how it shakes out. And the last one that I guess you have to mention is Florida, even though I've called them a pretender.
Didn't you just say we don't need to talk about them anymore?
I'm not going
to
talk about them much because I want to get onto another topic. But I think Florida is a team that. Well, we'll get to the preview in a minute, but I think they get exposed this week against LSU. They finally play a good team.
It's tough out there in Death Valley for sure.
Oh, it's really, really tough.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that preview here in a second, but we'll get back to you right after this. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you could make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge? At MyBookie, they want to make your dream come true this season. Right now, all players are invited to play in the free $50,000 Survivor Contest. Winner takes all. Contest starts October 8th and closes October 14th before the start of Monday Night Football. Pick one team each week, survive the longest, and you can take home $50,000 in cash. Make a successful deposit with MyBookie and you'll receive a free entry into the contest today. Between football season, the Major League Baseball playoffs, and the start of NBA and NHL seasons, it's time to get off the sideline and get into action. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with MyBookie. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code MENACE, M-E-N-A-C-E, to activate the offer. That's promo code MENACE to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Well, yeah, speaking of MyBookie, I just entered that Survivor contest that they have.
Who'd you pick?
I took Dallas to beat the Jets this week.
Yeah, well, I need to get on there. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do that after we finish this.
That one's free. And yeah. You win $50,000. It seems easy to me.
Well, we're gonna announce our parlay, our Menace to Society parlay.
I put a parlay in
also. Because we're doing it from the company. we're going to put I don't know, $100, $200 in there to double our money, use their money, and put a parlay in, and we're going to keep riding it. Keep riding. If we start winning, we'll just throw a huge menace to sports party. But so you didn't go with the game of the week.
I did.
Oh, you did? LSU, yeah. Florida.
I put that in my parlay.
Oh, yeah? What'd you take?
Just to win. No spread for me on that one.
You took Florida to win, huh?
No. No.
So
LSU to win.
LSU, yeah.
The spread was like 13.5 or something. I was like, yeah, they'll probably cover, but I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, at home, it definitely, I'm not gonna reveal my thoughts on that yet. But here's what I wanted to start with, and because I've seen this twice, and I'm so tired of sports media preying on buzzwords to sound knowledgeable to your average fan, because they do it constantly. I heard this one yesterday. You ready? Joe Burrow is thriving in Joe Brady's offense that has him relying on pre-snap indicators to undress the defense and determine where to go with the ball. I was like, what? So question, and it doesn't matter if you know what that means. It doesn't. None of that matters. What sophisticated offense in the world at this level of football doesn't do that,
yeah.
It's like, oh, wait a minute, I gotcha. So he tries to figure out what they're going to do on the upcoming play, and then, wait a minute, no shit, that information is going to help him make a decision? What?
What
a pre-snap
what offense,
read.
What offense was he running that he just walked up to this snap like, nope, don't look at the defense, look at the defense.
Hold on, time out. There are offenses like that. A&M, Johnny Manziel, they didn't look at a defense. I mean, I talked to one of their receivers. They didn't look at a defense, didn't know what a defense was. They couldn't tell you a coverage. They ran their route. The quarterback just read a guy or however it operated. So there are some out there, but that's uncommon.
So,
yeah, right.
So
to act like Joe... And I'll get to what I see on film, but Joe Brady is not giving him pre-snap indicators that just make him like close his eyes and throw the ball somewhere and it's a touchdown.
Perfect.
So it's you're ridiculous. Saying Manziel got drafted and had never read a defense?
Well, did it look like it? But anyways, here's what I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if people realize this. Do you realize the chaos that is playing quarterback? I mean, the speed at which things occur, the mosh pit that is the pocket, with 300-pound monsters trying to rip your face off, like bodies flying everywhere, and then the precision required to execute a simple play. It's almost unheard of. It's like no other position. And like, no shit, he's using pre-snap indicators. He better. He's going to die.
Anything to help.
But here's what I'm really seeing when I watch the film. I'm certainly not seeing what I saw on Fox Sports and then on ESPN. Both networks said the same thing. Like, pre-snap indicators are telling him where to go with the ball. I was like, oh my God, what a revelation. Here's what I see on film. What I'm really seeing is a highly motivated, focused, and well-prepared quarterback in Baton Rouge. That is where Joe Brady and ultimately Joe Burrow should get the kudos. Not some stupid pre-snap indicator. It's that kid's playing better than he's ever played. Joe Burrow has been equipped, prepared, and taught at a high level. And Joe Brady is doing an outstanding job at highlighting his strengths and protecting his weaknesses. It's been masterful this far. The kid should win the Heisman if they gave it out today. But yeah. Now we're going to see just how good this explosive LSU offense is on primetime 8 o'clock Saturday under the lights in Death Valley.
Well, yeah, that Florida defense isn't bad at all.
Oh, it isn't bad. It's It is.
It's going to be a test.
It's going to be a test. It's going to be an absolute test. So when I kind of evaluate both teams and look at it, the moral story is this: can LSU throw the ball like they have been while running the ball so poorly against a defense that has been good at stopping both?
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, granted, you're going to take 10 sacks from the Miami game, and that's going to vaunt Florida's pass rush a little higher than maybe it is, but they have the most. They're third in the country in sacks. So they're going to get after Joe Burrow. But when we talked about it in kind of the last segment, LSU has not run the ball at all, and Florida has stopped the run very, very well. Where I see LSU's only real advantage here is they have been creating explosive plays, and Florida has struggled at stopping explosive plays.
Yep.
I mean, Florida's 72nd in the country at preventing explosive passes, and LSU is second in the country at creating them. So I think this is going to be a game of big plays because LSU is not going to be able to run the ball against that front seven. And then it's a question, is can C.J. Henderson shut down LSU's receiver core and the whole Florida secondary? Are they going to be able to cover him? And will Joe Burrow be able to be the player we've watched on film? It's his first real test.
Yeah.
Texas defense was not. They're about to play a real defense. And so when you look at, I have an analytic that I use. I evaluate an offense versus defense in a general sense. And then I evaluate an offensive critical situation offense and a versus a critical situation defense. So LSU's offense is at a disadvantage against Florida's defense in a general sense at 21 spots. So Florida's defense on my analytic is 21 spots better than LSU's offense. But when it comes down to critical situations, it flips. LSU is 21 spots better than Florida's defense. I'm talking third down, red zone, turnovers, you name it. Critical situations, really third down, fourth down, red zone, those critical plays that you have to hit.
The plays that determine games.
I mean, ultimately.
Yeah.
Or they keep drives alive or they don't.
Yeah.
So that's I've never seen something. Usually it's somewhat consistent. But you're talking about 21 spots better at normal situation and then 21 spots worse in critical situations for LSU or for Florida's defense.
Yeah, and Florida's defense has struggled tackling as well, and that's one thing we keep harping on. But they
always bringing up the tackling. Well,
if you can't tackle a guy, how are you going to stop him?
I'm with you. You know? I'm just telling.
And they grade out at a 61.5 on the season in tackling, and that's hurt significantly by their 37 grade to start the year. But
either way,
I think that's definitely I think the matchup to watch.
That's the matchup to watch. And
for
then
sure.
I think the other matchup to watch, the one that is, so that's bizarre. I've never seen that, where those two, where critical situations and then just regular situations are so flipped. Because on the other side of the ball, when LSU's on defense, they're 32 spots better than Florida's offense.
Exactly.
They're 17 spots better on critical situations. So that should be an absolute ass-kicking. Because the only player I've seen, P. Ryan is a good back. He's not in the conversation with the DeAndre Swifts, the Etienne's, the Jonathan Taylors. He's not in that conversation. But he's a good back.
Yeah.
Freddie Swain, I think, is a really good player. And then they have a bunch of decent players. I mean, Van Jefferson's a decent player. He's not... They do not have the pass offense to feature his skill set because I love him, but he's not doing much. Trayvon Grimes is not doing much. Josh Hammond is not doing much. They have ability, but I don't see them making a huge impact against LSU. So they're going to help Freddie Swain out because he's just going off. Freddie Swain's having a year. He had an unbelievable game last week, and so that's where I see this game. I see this game being LSU's defense shutting down Florida's offense, and then flip to the other side of the ball. What's going to happen?
Yeah,
if Florida shuts down the run like they should in LSU's average run game, is Joe Burrow he will win the Heisman Trophy on Saturday? If he does,
he's going to have to be the one to win the game and get, I mean, pass for 400 yards.
And if he doesn't, you know what? We might have a dogfight on our hands.
Exactly.
But if he does, I'm telling you right now, There will be a clear-cut number one for the Heisman Trophy, and it's Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, my question when I look at this is, how healthy is Trask? I mean, I don't know, because I know he got banged up, he came back in, but how healthy is he? Because Emory Jones didn't look bad in his time in the game, but you need some consistency at quarterback, and they haven't had that with all the injuries.
So I've called Florida a pretender, and the only reason why they're not entirely a pretender is their defense is pretty good. I mean, they have a salty defense. Yeah. Now, what they don't have is their offense is so lackluster. It leaves so much to desire. The skill on the perimeter is just okay. Every now and then you see a flash from Josh Hammond or Freddie Swain. Every now and then P. Ryan breaks off a long run. Like every now and then you see a spark, but it's really not, it's not a nationally relevant offense.
It's not what you would expect from a Dan Mullen offense.
Not yet. Not yet. And what's really crazy is, and no one really, some people are talking about it. I actually saw Big Three Roll Up, the podcast down in Florida. You know, Florida State sucks, Miami sucks, so everyone's just talking about Florida, really. Yeah. And now there's a dissension being created because of this Felipe Franks, now Kyle Trask. It's like there's this, the fan base is starting to split over, like, well, he was better. He's better than Felipe Franks. And it's like, well, time out now. Dan Mullen is a quarterback guy. He started Felipe Franks. You're not going to tell me Kyle Trask is better than him. You're not. Like, you don't know. Dan Mullen does. He said Felipe was better, and Kyle Trask is doing a good job playing. You know, up to the standard, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I don't see this game being that close. I don't think Florida's going to be able to score much. I think LSU will find a way to run the ball a little bit and be able to spark the pass game a little bit. And I think the biggest thing is going to be, can LSU's offense perform? Can they run the ball? That's what it is.
Yeah, and this might be a game where they try to pass the ball to open up the run, as opposed to usually you run to open up the pass or play action game and stuff like that. But if Joe Burrow can be effective throwing the ball, then you might be able to hit some draw plays and things like that.
Yeah, you might be able to. And here's what I don't want. I don't want my backup quarterback for his first real test going into Death Valley at 8 o'clock. That's what I don't want. And so it'll be interesting to see. It's one of the two games I'm so excited to watch this weekend. And so we will bring all the post-game analysis next week, but that's the world as I see it in Death Valley this weekend. Support for Menace to Society comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Halloween is right around the corner, and you don't want to spook someone with your scary bush. You might be Chewbacca, Bigfoot, or a hairy bear, but it's what's under the costume that really matters.
Oh, man, I have a funny story about that. I was a couple years ago, well, actually probably about 6-7 years ago, I wish I would have had these products they sent us, because I wore one of those morph suits Halloween, and I was a little too ungroomed, I think, and it was kind of noticeable.
Oh, you could see it.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I had to put some shorts on.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. But don't be that hairy guy. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 2.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find their electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 2.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your pumpkins. You can also create less mess by trimming in the shower. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? The Perfect Package 2.0 also includes anti-chafing performance boxer briefs that keep your package cool and smelling fresh all day. For on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. It's time to get clean and mean with this Perfect Package 2.0. Fortunately, right now, you're getting 20% off with free shipping using our code MENACE, M-E-N-A-C-E, at manscaped.com. Stay sexy this Halloween. Your balls will thank you. Again, get 20% off of free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code MENACE. All right, now before I talk about the other game of the week this week, and I want to bring this up because people are talking about there's three big games this weekend in the SEC and Big 12. This A&M Bama game is not a good game. People are going to try to tout it as that, and that's what the ESPN bias is trying to make you feel, like this is a ranked opponent, and Bama's finally going to get tested. This A&M team is not a top 25 team. This is not a game of the week type of matchup. I mean, it's better than playing some small FCS school, but it's certainly not a great matchup. That doesn't mean something crazy can't happen, but we're not going to sit here and talk about it like it's some vaunted game that Alabama should be weary of. If Alabama does half of what their job or what their performance dictates they should do, that should not even be a game. But the last game that I just wanted to detail real quick was the Red River Showdown. It's like the old cocktail party in Jacksonville. You can't call it that anymore. It's not the shootout anymore. It's a showdown because they don't like to. I think people feel like if you call it a shootout, you're like promoting gun violence, which I think anyone with a brain would know that that's not the case. But here we are. We're the Red River Showdown. It's really a tale of two offenses and two good offenses, one better than the other, and two bad defenses, one better than the other. The problem for Longhorn fans and the problem for Texas is the better offense is in Norman, Oklahoma, and the better defense is in Norman, Oklahoma. Now, neither defense is really any good, but it's going to come down to, can Alex Grinch get his defense playing well enough to just slow down Sam Ehlinger and Texas offense to let Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley just put up the points they need to put up to win? I mean, you look at the differentials. I've been talking about the differentials, which is my big thing. I mean, the Texas's offense is 43 spots ahead of Oklahoma's defense when you compare the comparative stats, right, as far as performance on all downs, and then 25 spots on critical downs. And then on the flip side, Oklahoma's offense is 60 spots better than Texas's defense. So the comparative stats are just enormous. And the real difference here is going to be when Oklahoma has critical situations, that's third down, red zone, fourth down, it's not even comparative. It's not even, you can't compare the two. Oklahoma is the fourth best team on third down. Texas is the 89th best third down defense. And then you go to the red zone, the 20th best red zone offense against the 55th best red zone defense. So Oklahoma has the major edge here. Major edge. And it's a neutral site game. You're not going to have a home field advantage. And this is really the Oklahoma's opportunity and Alex Grinch's opportunity to show that this defense is going to be the defense that they need to go compete for this national platform, this college football playoff, this national championship, because they haven't been there yet because of their defense. And they brought in Alex Grinch, this defensive guru who was at Ohio State. And I mean, he's the man that is coined to get it done. And so it's going to be a matter of can he get it done? And I mean, I think Oklahoma rolls in this. I really don't see any way that Texas can slow down Jalen Hurts in that offense. And it's going to come down to Alex Grinch's defense against Sam Ellinger and Tim Beck and Tom Herman. And will they be able to snuff out Sam Ellinger in that offense? And I think they're going to. I think this is going to be the game where Oklahoma makes a statement on defense and shows that they're not an elite defense, but they're a much improved defense, a much better defense, not only from last year, but from early on in the season when they've struggled against some Houstons and some other teams like that. I think this is the game where you're going to see Oklahoma put it all together, and they're going to put themselves back into the conversation because they're kind of on the outliers right now. People are mentioning them here and there, but nobody really thinks they have the defense to compete. So I'm excited to watch this matchup. I think it's definitely an Oklahoma win. I think this is a statement game for Alex Grinch and Lincoln Riley and that defense. So it's going to be an exciting game to watch, and I'm really, really fired up for it. But we got to get to some gambling advice. All right, well, before we finish up, I just got to make sure we get to Peepaw's picks. Starting off with the Friday night game, Peepaw likes Virginia +2 over Miami. Saturday, he's got about 8 games here, so 9 total. Saturday, he likes Temple +6 at home against Memphis. He's like Wisconsin -10.5 at home against Michigan State. Then he likes Arizona State -1 at home against Washington State. That's a bold pick. The Houston-Cincinnati game, he likes Cincinnati -5 away at Houston, which I think is probably a great pick considering Houston just tanked their whole season. Shout out Dana Holgorsen for that one. Then also Iowa State at West Virginia. He likes Iowa State -10.5. Notre Dame -11 at home against USC. That's a pick right there. I like that one. And then Iowa Penn State. He likes Penn State -4.5 at Iowa. I would have to concur and agree with that one. And how about the bold one here? LSU -13.5 at home against Florida. So Peepaw definitely likes the LSU victory in that matchup. So anyways, just want to thank you for tuning in. Like we mentioned, every show, our sponsorship platform is available, sponsorship@menacesocietypodcast.com. And if you haven't reached out and are interested in joining this movement, this brand, this platform that we're building, please do so at Zach, Z-A-C-H, @menacesocietypodcast.com. And then we have some written pieces that we're going through and some people that have, I guess, reached out, contacted us. So that platform is growing, and within the next month or so, we're going to be really transforming into this new platform that we're building. So thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were entertained. Hope you learned something. And if you didn't, or if you didn't like it, as we say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere?
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.